Welcome to the talk by Julian Patrick Carson on a text-based studio. So the power of Linux is really the command line, and so I'm very interested to see what you can do with audio here. So go ahead, Julian.
So Linux, a text-based studio. What does it mean, Linux console? A Linux console is just that. For those who aren't present, it could be just like that, a blank screen, and at the top there's just one line, bach, colon, tilde, slash, lot, slash, intro, space, hash sign, cursor. Pretty frustrating, you would think. But especially it would look frustrating to those of you who've only used, the unspeakable system or Mac OS, but it can be very powerful. But first I'm going to show you something you would expect of a Linux system running in console, and you might expect the art of ASCII, which doesn't come at all. That is also pretty frustrating. Wait, can you try that again? I love it if the equipment doesn't work. So, it won't work. Slight problem. I'm sorry. There we are. You would expect something like that. It's just a video displayed in ASCII characters. But Linux can do a lot more. Now, what I want to do in my talk is to show that a Linux console can be used as a fully-fledged studio. I'm going to show that we can record popular music. I mention especially popular music because what I don't want to record is typical computer music or music for other nerds. You know, it's pretty well known that Linux should be the system for all the freaks and nerds, but what I want to show is that this is not so. Linux can be used in a common environment. So here's a short overview of the talk I'm going to do. First of all, this the introduction, then the way I am working. What is a braille display? Because those of you who are participants might know that I'm blind. Those who aren't know now. Then what can Linux do? I want to play some different audio files, different audio file formats to show you what is possible. And then we are starting with the real program. That means we are recording one audio track. Then we will process this audio track with some effects. Then we will mix down some tracks. I've prepared something. And then if there's some time, I want to mention the last few words about the way I work and the thing in general. So now, the 101 on braille displays. What is a braille display? A braille display is a small device which can be connected to a computer, like, for instance, a printer. A braille display shows half a line of the screen or a full line of the screen, and there are navigation buttons to move the focus around. Thus, you can look at the whole screen without moving the cursor. You know, it's like, imagine you have a 40-character display and you have to see your standard system screen with 80 lines, and that would be fairly difficult. Even programs like the text-based web browser Lynx will look very complicated then to you, just to mention it. We are running Lynx now, and what you see here is the Lynx output. And there's some additional info on this slide, but it's only for you, those of you who want to read more about it in the net. So, now as I mentioned, we are going to show that we can play a few file formats. First of all, I'm playing a WAV file, which should be pretty elementary, and I think you would expect to be able to play WAV files on all platforms. I mean, you even can do it under DOS, so here we go. So, no problem there. Then the next thing I want to show you is that we can play MP3 files. I mean, it's pretty common now to have MP3 files, and I think they're a lot around. Here we go. So nothing out of the ordinary. The program I used here was the MPlayer program. It's called the Linux Movie Player, but it supports a lot of formats. And the next thing I'm going to show is the OGG file format. It's a free variant of the MP3 format. It compresses audio, and it can sound like that, also using MPlayer.
Here is Dave Phillips.
Thank you. I know that
taken
what
from
a lot
last
of you
conference.
Want to get to is the demonstration of all the applications, and I promise to at least try to make my presentation even shorter than Steve Harris's. So, unless there are any questions, thank you very much.
So you see a lot of fun at the conference. Yeah, the next thing I'm going to demonstrate is that you can play back MIDI files. I think for musicians, MIDI files, they're very important. You can find a lot of MIDI files on the net. You can take them to learn music. And there I'm going to use Timidity, with actually a software synthesizer. It takes sounds you can store on your computer as a sound font or in the old Gooseypatch format. And first of all, I'm going to show Timidity using Gooseypatches. Here we go. So you see it works. And next we'll show how to use that I can use Timidity with the sound fonts. Oh, by the way, I'm using some scripts here, but it's just because I'm very bad at typing at the moment. So typos can cost a lot of time here. So you just can see there's no magic in it. I'm not doing any magic. I'm not a magician. It's just a call to Timidity with some configuration file and some options for the output, so to get the most out of Timidity. And here is how Timidity can sound with a sound font. I think it's pretty nice. And just to show you that the art of ASCII is not the only thing we can do, here's the same video film displayed with VESA display, so it would just look like any video output on your usual X computer or whatever you like. So you see the video output is a lot better than before. So I just can listen or watch any audio format or video format. I like even the commercial ones, the proprietary ones. This is possible. So now let's get down to the original task of my talk, which is recording. Before I start recording, I think I have to mention a few things. I'm going to use the Jack Audio Connection Kit. And for those of you who haven't heard of it before, Jack is an audio server. Think just like if a mixer, and then you have virtual cables, and with those cables you can connect, for instance, a software synthesizer with an audio program, an audio recorder, just like my favorite tool, Ecosound. That's what we are going to use in the following part of this talk. So, about Ecosound, I hope this synthesizer is running. What's wrong? I have to start Jack. No. Jack, start. Okay, try it again.
Ecosound is just the last part one. What does it change?
So, Ecosound made easy. I try my best. A chain is a simple connection of audio objects. Usually it looks like that. You just have an audio input connected to some chain operator and then to an audio output. An example of a chain would be you just take your microphone as an input, then just run it through a couple of effects, for instance a filter, and then you route it to the audio output. So chains are like the virtual cables in a Jack server also. So now what we want to do is to record a track. So I've prepared something for that so we can have some example mixing at the end of this. So first I'm starting a software synthesizer, FluidSynth. This will be directly connected to Jack. So I can just set a few good settings here. Turn off the chorus, put on a bit of gain, and select a program from the Lotus Sound font. So then we have to connect the MIDI ports of my sound card to the MIDI port of FluidSynth, and there we are, we can play. That's great. So now I can set up an EcoSound session. This session consists of three chains. One chain is the chain used to get the FluidSynth input and store it in a WAV file. The second chain is just used to have a click track. And the third chain is just a monitor WAV file so I know what I have to play. I'll just get my chair over here and hope I'll get it right. There we go, pretty bad. I'm sorry. But I think I've prepared some backup track for this. Ah, yes, there it is. Of course, I did some bad playing. TC2, just we copy the track. Okay, now we just can listen to this track in EcoSound. We enable its interactive mod. Then just take the input minus I switch to input the track. And the output is set automatically to our sound card. But I will have to shut up FluidSynth and Jack. Jack D. There we go. And now we should be able to play this. So, fairly simple, but now what we want to do is to process the track, because the bass, it might be nice, but what you would expect of a bass is to have real power, to have real booming, and as you might have heard in Steve's and Jörn's talk, we might have also some compression or some equalization. So I just will show you short script. T process. Yes, that's it. There, this is the call for a session using EcoSound's interactive mod, and we enable some LUTSPA effects, those minus ELI options. They just take the index of LUTSPA of a LUTSPA plugin. They're organized, they have some unique numbers so you can identify them, and then they have just a big list of parameters. It looks awful, but it's fairly simple. And at the end, you have just a low-pass filter of 2,000 Hz. It was just because I liked it. no reason, no other reason for it, but I have to disable the jack output, I'm sorry. Bit disorganized, I am. So, now we can start the script with the EcoSound session and just listen to our bass. So if we aren't sure how it will sound 10 seconds away, we can just forward. Yeah, generally, I think it's okay, just for the moment, because we have no time. Learned a lot about processing just now, but okay. Now let's store the result we've just heard to disk. I've just prepared another EcoSound session which doesn't use ALSA as its output, but which stores the output directly to a WAV file. So this is another script. I like my scripts. And this will take time, and even more time. Yes, we are ready now. This script contains just a call to normalize the output of the WAV file. So now we can listen to this sound file again. And there we go. Yeah, on this sound system, it sounds really quite overproduced. It's absolutely booming. But on my small headphones, this would just sound okay. It did. So what we now want to do, we have just our bass and we have the other three three tracks of the recording session. And what we now wanted to do is to mix them. To just mix them with equal volume, it wouldn't sound good. So I've prepared a mixing session that we can listen to first. I'll call up the script again so we can see what I'm doing. I just take four chains. All the chains have as input the tracks, and the chain output is automatically the other output. And then we just take the minus EA effect. It comes up again and again after each chain, and EA is just an amplifier. So I just take the four tracks and amplify them separately, so I get a nice volume adjustment. So let's just listen to this. Let's just forward. Oh, that was too late. The song was already over. Yeah. But now that's usually what I do. I just call up those interactive sessions, listen to it, then I go back and adjust the volume settings. Now I could just edit my script again and say, oh, well, the bass, it's so booming, it annoys me. I want the bass turned down, so I just set the amplifier from the bass from 90% to 80%. This amplifier works with percent values, so it's very easy. So, and then we can start up the real-time mix session again and listen to it again. Sounds a bit better on the system, let's just forward. Takes a time to pre-fill its buffers. No, I don't want to wait for that. So this result sounds a bit better. So I just added my original mix script with this, which is in general just the same as the real-time mix script, but it outputs not to the ALSA sound card, but it outputs to a WAV file. There I see I've already done that step. So now we can call up our mix session and process the mix to a single WAV file. And there we are, ready. Ready, steady, go. And now we can take just an old program like AmpLayer to play back our track. Thank you. I just forwarded 10 seconds. So this is a single WAV file now. And you could just take this WAV file, burn it on a CD, carry it to your friends or some obscure record labels or whatever. Now, we've produced a completely ready mix. Okay, you could adjust some things if you didn't like it, but in general, this is it. I just record a first track, just to a click track, and then I record all the other tracks, just taking the click track and the monitor track as a reference. And then I record all the other tracks, I process them after the recording, and finally I try to get a good mix and install this one to disk in a single WAV file. And that's the way it works, and I must say it worked very fine. Just to show you what's possible. What you've seen so far, it was just one piece, and you might ask yourself, oh, well, recording to a click track, Wendy Carlos did this at the end of the 60s, and all the bands of the 70s, they had to do it. But now we are much farther and in technology. What can you do with this kind of recording? And just to give you a good idea of what we can do, I've just prepared a medley of some pieces I recorded myself, just so you can see what is possible. So this is just a bit of simple synthesizer music, very simple to record. I'm just going to forward 10 seconds. So if I'd used some better adjustment for the volume of the all the sounds, it could have been just normal pop music like would expect of the Backstreet Boys, Britney Spears, take whomever you like. And just stop. This is a bit of a bit more elaborated popular music, and I've just hacked the string part. You know, it goes bap 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 bap, which is a very nice effect. I liked it. I thought, oh, it's not really possible, but so I saw it is. I just took an oscillator and set it on the volume, so the volume goes up and down, and there we are. So this is possible too. Now I'm going to forward again. So just you see, a Linux machine running a console is not only for stupid synthesizer players like me, but you also could just connect your guitar to it with your effects processor and a microphone and just do a normal, usual song, rock or whatever. And for this song, a friend of me, we recorded this. He just connected his guitar to the computer, I connected a microphone, and so we just played it together. All the other parts come from a synthesizer, though.
And it's eternal light of the shadows and my blind. Oh, shall it be that I see you once again before I take the train? Emotion.
I'm just going to forward a bit now. There we've got a piece of a bit smooth music, maybe like jazz. It's all done with fluid synth, so this is all the software synthesizer you are hearing. No external technology used. You just could install Linux on your own machine, or I hope you already have it, and just take a fluid synth, download a few sound fronts from the internet and do the same. And I think it sounds absolutely great, those sounds. And what's also possible is a bit of a mixture of orchestral and 70s music. So all these tracks were done just using Eco Sound, some Raspberry effects, and fluid synth. That's all I use, and it works out pretty fine. And I can do 10 tracks, 12 tracks, processing. I'm for the recording itself. I just use three tracks, my usual three tracks. But in the end, I can mix down as many tracks as I like. There's no limitation for me, at least there hasn't been any limitation for me, except my own processor. It's a bit slow. But just to finally convince you that everything's possible, we have some nice surprise.
Bringst du noch ein Bier mit, bringst du noch ein Bier mit, Faulari, Holari, Dödel, Dudel, Bär.
Now tell me not everything is possible, this machine. Yeah, now I think there's some time left, Matthias? Matthias? Huh? So, is there some time left? Okay, then I can just say the last few words. I hope. Going to forward here. So, for all those who are blind and outside the net, I've just chosen the last slide. A few small words about myself. Yeah, pretty egoistic, I know. I've built up a small web page, which is still under construction. It's ltsb.sourceforge.net. Linux text-based studio. There's a misspelling in LTSB. It should have been LTBS, but hey, LTSB, it looks more aesthetic on the bright display. And yeah, of course, some additional links you really should have a look at is Dave Phillips' great Linux audio sound page. I don't know how many times it has been mentioned already. And my absolutely favorite tool, as you might know by now, is Eco Sound. So if you want to work using the Linux console, it might be a good place to look. Might be http://www.eca.cx/ecosound. All those slides can be found on the net. They're pure HTML, no PDF, no graphics, nothing of the sort. And well, what you've seen so far, it works out for me very fine. I even can do a bit of techno. I could do this if I wanted to. But what I'm still missing under the Linux console is a working MIDI sequencer. There are some programs who have a MIDI sequencer implemented. There's the functionality, but not the interface. They just use it internally to, like Fluid Synth. So you can play notes and you can just record them in audio, but there's no capability for MIDI recordings. And yeah, what I've done so far, it looked maybe fairly simple, and it looked quick because I've prepared everything. But usually it takes some time to work. I won't deny that, but it is really transparent. You have control over all the parameters of the sound, of all the effects, and you're really going to learn it because I started out with Eco Sound in 2000. And I started recording only July of last year because then I got my good sound equipment. And Well, Ikasan, it has been not only a program to use and a great tool, it has been a teacher. Thanks, Kai. Well, I think that was my part. Now yours.
Hello. Oh, thank you, Julian, for your talk. So, are there any questions in the audience?
Please signal to him. I forgot my looking glasses.
Okay, no questions in the audience, but there was a question from Eric. Oh my God, I'm going to mispronounce this. Ritschweck, when, oh, I can't.
So, Eric.
Eric, Nick at RZ. I'm sorry, Eric. He asks, do you use Ekasan's control interface from Python, Perl, or one of the other languages ECI is available in?
No, I just use Ekasan's normal interactive mod, which comes with the program. I think that's the C part of the control interface. I don't write any Ekasan applications myself. I've seen some Ekasan applications. They look fairly simple, but, well, I'm just a stupid user. I'm sorry. Nothing there. I've seen a few of the interfaces, but haven't worked with them. Haven't written anything.
Okay, his name is Zevnitsky. Zevnitsky, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, any more questions? No one. Okay.
So the last thing I can tell you, I hope it works now. Can you hear the penguin calling? No. You can't. You really can't. Do it that way. No, it's called Dux. What did I do? I told you I can't write. There we are. So, if you can hear it calling, listen to the call. Start using Linux if you aren't already. And, well, take just a look at the console. Even if you're usually graphic working with the GUI, it is very nice and it can be very simple for simple tasks. It doesn't have all the overhead. Yeah.
Your talk? Thank you for your talk, Julian. And next is Steve Harris with Jack, Jammin', and Mastering.